Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Wednesday, the 3rd of June. Goodness, it's been way into our 12th week now of not having church proper in the church and seeing everybody, but we'll get there. Not be too long before we're all back able to fellowship together. For those that want to continue without pressing the pause button during the middle of the service, the Bible reading today is from Matthew chapter 28. So if you want to go and put a paper mark or a bookmark in Matthew chapter 28, that's where we'll be reading from first this morning. And our service is taken from Joel chapter 3. So that's Matthew 28 and Joel chapter 3. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for life and health and strength. And even for this good day, Lord, even with the sun not blazing down through the trees and jacking the temperature up into the 20s, excuse me. We thank you, Lord, for a more bearable day, but for a good day. Able to get up and make a cup of tea and have some breakfast and even be in church, Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray you, Lord, for your presence. And we know, Father, that strictly speaking, that wherever two or three are gathered together is not going to work for some people, Father. So I pray you, please, even though we're not gathered together in body, we are gathered together in spirit around your word, singing your praises and lifting up your prayers and Lord, please, I pray you bless each one of us. Be with each one of us at this time. I pray you, Lord, that you would be with the folks in the church. I think on Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, and Will and John, Christine, of course, as well, and Mary Ann, for Paul and William and Rachel and Lillian and Reggie as well, Lord, and the extended family. Think too, Lord, and Leonard, and pray your good hand upon him. Remember Esther as well, Father. Pray that you'd bless and keep her. And Lord, I'm sure her heart's desires to see all her children saved. Please, Lord, convict of sin and judgment to come. We're not forgetting Rita's family, Lord. Rita went into Gloria just about a week and a bit ago, and I pray you, please, that you'd be with Elaine and Hilary at this time. Please be with Brother Christy, Lord, and bless him. And Taylor, I pray you, Lord, for salvation for Terry and Lisa too. Remember as well Brother Norman at this time, Father, and pray that you would be with him and strengthen and comfort him. And Lord, that you would also give him the victory in these legal affairs as well, Lord. Father, please bless and keep Pat and Steve and their extended family too, Lord. Pray you, Father, for a reconciliation. I pray you, Lord, for a great salvation. Pray you, Lord, for healing for Steve's foot or his legs, Esther's too, Lord, and of course for Norman's down the road. Be with John and Carol and bless and keep, and Stephen too, Lord. Please, I pray you watch over each and every one of us. Please keep Maslam and Georgina and save their extended family, Lord. We pray too, Lord, for my dad, John Bradfield. Watch over and keep him as well at this time. For Roger and Pat Hain over in the States. And for anybody else far and wide that gets a chance to click on the website preaching, Lord. Or indeed the Facebook group. We're not forgetting, Lord, Norman and Noel and John. Neither are we forgetting Terence McLaughlin or Jane and Corey. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Carol and Harry and Marie. I pray you, Lord, too, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, for Henry, for Evelyn, and especially for their grandson Isaac, Lord, and that cystic fibrosis. Please, Lord, I pray you put your good hand upon them. Remember as well Sally and Sammy and Kate at this time. Pray your good hand upon them as well. Pray for salvation, Lord, for those that need it, and for edification and comfort and strength for those that are saved, Lord. We're not forgetting Alan Leslie or Pearl Hetherington at this time, and so many of us, Lord, as the years march on, We pick up aches and pains in one thing and another. I pray you, Lord, for grace and comfort and healing and relief from aches and pains. Heavenly Father, we don't forget those that have slipped and slid. Remember the whole family, the Borlands, the Edgars, the Robinsons, and the Lemunions, Lord, and Tony and Caitlin. We pray you, Lord, for these souls that they would be restored, and for those especially loved ones, Lord, and friends and neighbours that need to be saved. Please take and use us, Lord. Don't be done with us, Lord. Please take this as a time of finishing, of salvation, of chastening, Lord, of comforting, of strengthening, of just making wise, Lord. We leave it at your feet and pray that you would grant it our prayer request this morning according to your will. We love you and praise you, Lord. We ask it all. Amen. In your name. That should have been what I said. In your name. Amen. Right. Hymn 414 this morning. 414 is going to be the first of our hymns. It's Stand Up for Jesus. Now I know we've maybe been used to singing 413. And my wife's just telling me there is a chorus in 414. But we're not singing the chorus, we're only singing the four verses. And I know many times, I think we've probably said some of these songs need a fourth verse. When God's good, we flipped over the page, Monica found the same song with four verses. So with four verses, stand up for Jesus. Amen. Let me see. Taken from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. If you would like to turn there, I will join you in just a moment. Matthew chapter 28. I want to thank Steve this morning again. He's not able to get here to read Matthew 28, but he was able to suggest Matthew 28. So I will do my best this morning to bring you Matthew 28. Hope that gives you enough time to find it or turn to the bookmark that you set in at the beginning of the service. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Steve. I pray that's a help to you. I want you to remember that, Christian, that Jesus is with you always, even until the end of the world. There is nothing, as Paul said, he was fully persuaded that nothing, death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor height, nor nothing, he said, could separate him from the love of God that was in Christ Jesus. And this was a man that went out of his way to make life not just difficult, but to take the lives of many of Christ's followers back in the day. And if God will take and use a man like that, that gives his life to the Lord, what could he do with you or me? Amen. Amen. Right, prayer requests. Do we have any special prayer requests today, Mrs. Bradfield? Yes, indeed. There are a number of people with leg complaints that we minister to in the church. First of all, Esther has a problem with her foot, is it? There's a wee spot on her foot that needs some attention, so please do pray for Esther and for the relevant medical people to help her with that. Steve is due for an appointment. By the time you get this, he may already have had his appointment up at the hospital to tend to his leg as well. I think he has a couple of infections on his legs and they need Well, they just need more antibiotics and more attention. Please do pray for him. And Norman, the son of Noel and Joan that you hear us mention in prayer at the start of the service, he has a sore leg too. I haven't heard anything as to how that's doing, but please do pray for God's intervention there as well. And if you have any aches or pains or difficulties, the Word of God says, bring them all to God. Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's no problem that we have that's too little that God isn't interested in, no problem too big that he isn't fit for. So tell God about everything and don't be afraid. Don't be backwards. He knows it all. He's just waiting for us to tell it to him. Please do pray for that. I know we have lost loved ones. Please do pray for them. Family members and friends, please. We're not going to take time. If I mention some and don't mention others, it would be because it slipped my mind and I don't want anybody to think we're playing favourites or anything like that. Some people are more important than others. They're not. But please do pray about that. Please do pray for preachers at this time. They have a difficult time. Many preach in the service and to the lens of a camera, or in our case, a pretty much empty church for by my good wife. And it can be tricky. We need encouragement too, and we need prayed for. There are times when I have literally felt my spirits lift and my strength return as people have prayed for me. So please do pray for preachers. There's Brother Stan down there in Bangor and Brother Bissett in Temple Patrick. There are many others. We haven't mentioned the preachers that have stood with us whenever we have been at the gospel outreach at the Gay Pride this past bunch of years. So there's Ian Brown and Julian Robinson. Patterson, sorry, I keep calling him Robinson. Sorry, Julian. There's Johnny Campbell, there's Jonathan Crane, and of course I always remember his sister as well, Sarah. Please do pray for her too. She's not a preacher, she's just his sister, but she needs prayer as well. Please do remember them. We also not forgetting the Haynes, Pastor Hain, Pastor Asquith over in America. They minister to just a slightly bigger version of Bethel over there, so please do pray for them and their families and their flock. And I would ask as well that you would pray for Ed Gilbert's family over in Black Creek Baptist. Lost a wife and a mother and a grandmother, maybe even a great-grandmother, was there? No. Just a week or two back, and I am sure they're still feeling that, as you do when souls go into eternity. But she was saved, and she'll be fellowshipping with all our loved ones that have been saved and gone before too. So please do remember them, the Foxes, the Isaacsons, the Snowds, the Smiths, the Randalls. Pray for these men as well, if you would. Please also do pray for Francis Cosgrave. He's having a family meeting. I think he has a brother that's very ill with cancer, so please do pray for his opportunities to speak to his brother. Please do pray for Brother Forrest. He's quite ill. Might be maybe close to death. He's very, very weak, so please do pray for him. And Jack Mormon over in London, who seems to be rallying, I guess, prayers. The Lord is hearing people's prayers, and he still has a bit of work to do here, so please do pray for the Mormon family. For all those folks that we have ministered to, that we have handed a tract to, that we have had an opportunity to speak to about their eternities, pray for them as well. We don't know the names of all the folks in Derry, but there's many as a one has heard a gospel message from the business end of a megaphone. Please pray for them. The Lord can take and use even the tiniest portion of his word to turn it into a great thing, just like he did for the feeding of the 5,000. Please do pray for them as well. One last thing. I was just having a look around the church the other day, and there are a few panels that are now rotten and need to be replaced. on both sides of the church. I was quite surprised, but there you go. So we'll have to get to that at some stage in the near future. It is only June. We have another few months. Pray for my recovery that I'll be fit to get up and do that. And goodness, I think that's about that. Take and use everything the Lord has given you wisely. Be like the servant with the 10 talents or the 5 talents. Take and use everything that the Lord has given you, whether it's a talent, whether it's a position, whether it's money, whether it's, I don't know, whatever the Lord has blessed you with. Make sure you take and use it for His glory, because there'll come a day when nothing else matters. I think that's about that. Anything else? Mrs. Bradfield, no? Pray for Mrs. Bradfield. She needs all the patience. I'm praying for patience and wisdom for her when she's looking after me, because I think if I pray for strength, she might wring my neck some of these days. No, she's, I'm only joking about that. But please do pray for us as well. Okay. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the freedom to enter into your presence and just open up all our hearts, Lord, and to tell you about all of our problems. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant our prayer requests according to your will. Our private prayer requests, our prayers for loved ones, our prayers for our countrymen, especially for our leaders. We're not forgetting Arlene Foster and Boris Johnson, Nicola Sturgeon, Lord, President Trump, Vladimir Putin, I think it's President Xi in China, Kim Jong-un, Lord. I must get the names of the Australian and Canadian presidents too. I don't know who's in charge of the EU. I think it's Angela Merkel, although I could be behind the times. Lord, all of these countries right the way across the world, I pray you for wisdom. I pray you, Lord, for honour to be seen to be had. And I pray you, Lord, that they would listen to you. You know, Lord, that they are suffered to be there and appointed many times by you, because that's what the people deserve, or that's what the people have allowed. So please, Lord, please speak to souls about their eternities, and speak to our leaders about leading their countries properly. Pray for Israel too, Lord, that you would yet divinely protect it and help with whatever's going on there right now. I think there's inquiries into the president or the prime minister of Israel. Lord, please look after them. Please bless and keep them, whatever's going on. Pray you too for our country as restrictions relax a little bit. Lord, that there would not be a huge influx of lost lives. Lord, that you would protect us all from this virus. I know you can. I pray that you would. But most importantly, I pray that your will would be done. Please be with those families that have lost loved ones at this time. Please speak to their hearts about your son, about comfort, about heaven. And Lord, with those that are sick, I pray that you would touch each one of their bodies. I pray, Lord, that you would lift them out of their sick beds. But again, I pray that your will would be done. Lord, we can only see a little bit of all that's going on, but we know that you see the big picture. I pray you, Father, please, that your will would be done. Please come quickly, Lord. And Lord, please let the world see that there is a God of Israel, a God of the Christian, and that he's still alive and well in this world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your word. Thank you for everything, Father. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Right. Let's take our hymn books again. This time, I think we are in 316. I have decided to follow Jesus. 316 in the hymn book.
Thank you.
We tend to think of all of these songs as written and produced by Christians that came from America or indeed Britain, England, but this one is actually attributed to an Indian prince and it's based upon an Indian folk melody. So there you go. Amen. Okay, well, we are in Joel chapter 3. I trust you have found it by now. Joel chapter 3. And we are going to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of decide. Decide. From Joel chapter 3. And I'm not going to tell you what verse is our text. You'll get it as we read it. But we're going to begin reading at verse number 1, and we're going to read this whole chapter. There's only 20 verses in it. Amen. Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your daughters and your sons into the hands of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. That's our text. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion. My holy mountain then shall Jerusalem, in Zion my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Verse number 14 is going to be our text this morning, where the word of God says, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near, in the valley of decision. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity. Wherever men stand to preach the whole counsel of your word, wherever anybody stands to preach the whole counsel of your word, I pray that your good hand would be upon them. Please, Lord, I pray you convict greatly of sin and judgment to come, and of living right and close to you, especially in these dark days. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, it's great to have a blessing, Lord, but sometimes we need a bit of a straightening out. So I pray you, please, that you would supply all of our needs this day. And Father, that, Lord, we would just make the right choice and the smart choice to do what you say and not to do what we feel. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 You don't hear much preaching in the book of Joel these days, although maybe that's just we don't hear much preaching in Bethel on the book of Joel these days, because some of the books of the Bible I have thought are a gripping read, and you just want to read them and you're through them before you even notice. But Joel is a very interesting book. It's full of prophecy and warning, of course, as well. And some of the most beautiful verses come in the previous two chapters, where it tells us of the days that God's Spirit will pour out upon all flesh. And that's referred to in the New Testament. And it refers to Jesus giving his life on the cross so that that other comforter, the Holy Spirit, would come down and dwell with those that would repent of their sins and trust in Christ as their Savior. This doesn't depend on God, but on us. And not all of us, but each of us. Anybody, and it doesn't matter who you are, that repents of their sins and trusts in Christ as their Savior. Not just like the kings of the Old Testament. If you ever remember Saul, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he preached, and they said, is Saul one of the prophets? Came upon David whenever he fought against the lion and the bear, and then also whenever he fought with Samson, and many times in between after that, and saved him from Saul's wrath. Or Solomon, the wisdom of God rested and remained with Solomon. Of course, did we mention Samson? Samson, with his great deeds of strength when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and speed. Unfortunately, he was a little bit lacking in wisdom. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit came upon men, God's men only, back in those days. But now the Lord has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. Now, sometimes people don't they don't want that Spirit, and they don't listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they refuse the company of the Holy Spirit forever and ever, and they do that simply by rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. But there are some, sadly only a few, that accept him. As we read on here, it talks about the persecution of Israel, and it's not good. This is what the world has done to Israel, to the Jewish people. They have treated them like trash, like rubbish. The Word of God says they sold a boy for a harlot and a girl for a drink of wine. That's how lightly they esteemed God's people back in those days, and indeed in these days. They think we are the rubbish, the offscouring of the world, something that you would kick off your shoe. For some reason, they want the pleasures of sin for a season, and they try to forget the judgment of God. Well, I'll tell you what, whenever you remember the judgment of God and you accept his Son as your Savior, you have the pleasures of God for the rest of eternity. But anyway, as we read on in Joel chapter 3, we come to the eventual judgment of the lost and the destruction of all the enemies of those that hate God. This goes right the way from the persecution of the Jews right there and then, right up until Christ comes back and rules the world well. And his kingdom never ceases. like it says in Daniel. It will be great for those that love the Lord when the Lord is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. I think this is a very famous verse, verse number 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And then it goes on to speak about the 7 years of tribulation, great tribulation, and the restoration of Israel. But I got to thinking about that verse because I have heard of it before and I have read of it before and I'm almost certain I've heard some preaching on it before. But I got to thinking about the multitudes. The multitudes, first of all, that God spoke to Abraham about, and he said that the children of Israel would be a huge multitude. In fact, he said, if anyone could number the sand of the sea, they would be able to number the children of Israel. The Lord was talking about tremendously blessing the children of Israel. There would be millions of people that arose from Abraham. We also have the many promises and the chastenings that were visited upon them. And of course, on those that bless Israel, or indeed curse Israel. There are multitudes of God's chosen people. There were also multitudes many times that followed Jesus into the wilderness, and multitudes were fed physically and spiritually on at least two occasions of at least 5,000 people each time. A lot of people think that's great. It is great. It is a miracle, but then they forget about each time the Lord fed hundreds of thousands of his people in the wilderness. Not just twice in 33 years, but every day for 40 years. And then I got to thinking on the multitudes that thronged Jesus wherever he went, because the Bible says the common man received him gladly. And when people that believed in God heard that Jesus was going to be in a place, the Word of God records, people only even wanted to touch his garments, that they would be healed, delivered from whatever it was that ailed them. And God was more than happy to do that. And then there's the multitude that is on the broad road that leads to destruction. And that's not such a great multitude, sadly. Well, great, it's not such a great multitude to be numbered amongst, let me put it like that. Because there's a whole lot can go on that broad road. A whole lot of people believe in a whole lot of stuff that's on the broad road that leads to destruction. God doesn't want that for anybody. That's why he sent us. That's why he sent his Son. And that's why he has preserved his word, so that we can tell God face to face that we're wrong and he's right, and he'll save our souls. And he'll take us from the broad road that leads to destruction and put us on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. And even though that offer is there, and has been there ever since, two people needed a Savior, Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden. When God provided an innocent substitute to cover their nakedness, when God provided an innocent substitute in his Son Jesus Christ to cover our sin, to cover our shame, there has always been an escape. And that is in his Son Christ Jesus. And trust in God. There's one other multitude I'd like to make a mention of. And it's the multitude that John sees in Revelation chapter 20. The multitude that stands before the great white throne of judgment. And it says all the dead. And that's dead in trespasses and sins. Those who spent their lives on and stepped off into eternity from that broad road that leads to destruction. All of them waiting for their sins to be read out and the thoughts of their heart too. You know, some might think that they're not as bad as other people. I remember, and I can't remember his name, but there was a murderer in England, and people, his neighbours used to say, oh, he was such a nice man. He would take our bins out and bring them back in again, and all the time he was murdering young women. Some people might think they're not as bad as the man next door, and they might be right, but compared to Jesus Christ, we're all miserable sinners and deserve nothing but hell and the lake of fire for eternity. But at the very end of Revelation 20, the final yardstick, the final measurement of whether you're going to heaven or into the lake of fire is all down to your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not the deeds you've done, the money you've tithed, the songs you've sung, the souls that you've spoken to. It's all about whether your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's all about whether you trusted Christ as your only Saviour, whether you repented of your sins, and Jesus saved you. And if not, the Bible says that great multitude that stands before the great white throne of judgment, they are all dead in trespass and sins, not alive through Christ. They are all going into the lake of fire, and that's awful. There are a number of other instances. The one other one that springs to mind right now is the one where Jesus was just about to be sentenced to crucifixion, when the multitudes of people whipped up by the scribes and the Pharisees drowned out the one small voice of the one still small voice of reason. That was, imagine, Pontius Pilate. I have found no wrong in this man. He is innocent of everything. And right and reason went out the window because a multitude wanted what they wanted. And I think we're even seeing this on the news right now. That poor man that was killed by the police, asphyxiated on the ground. Right and reason has gone out the window because a bunch of people have seen an opportunity to protest against police brutality in the stealing of TVs, in the killing of shopkeepers, and in the raiding of gold stores and liquor stores. And I can see how that could mean something. All that means is that people will take any opportunity to do whatever they want. I think that gentleman's old brother actually tried to call upon these people and tell them that this is not what his brother would have wanted. But anyway, I just want for you to know that regardless of the number of people that you're in the company of, or the vigor that you have, or the ardor that you feel for the cause of the people that you're with, or the finances those people have, or indeed the cause that you follow, being in the multitude doesn't make you right. It only means you have company. It doesn't matter what other people think. It really doesn't. It matters what is good and right and true. And one thing about that too, I have heard and come across over the years a disturbing trend which is called your truth. Have you ever heard that? You follow your truth. And you have movie stars and you have social influencers. And people that get their 5 minutes in front of a TV camera say, you should follow your truth. And I have never heard such nonsense. Do whatever you feel is right. Hold on a second, I have heard such nonsense. And that was promoted, I think, 40 to 50 years ago by the world's leading Satanist at the time, Anton LaVey, and he said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's downright Satanism. But if you want to do that, that's fine. I can do that. And I can go for that, but you will find that my truth is a lot sorer on you than your truth. Because my truth might fancy your money. Or it might fancy your car, or your house, or your computer, or your new phone, or your nice clothes, or your life. And then nobody can say anything to me because it's my truth. I happen to have a bigger knife, or I happen to have a gun with more bullets, or I happen to be faster or stronger, and my truth means that I should take advantage of everybody that hasn't. A lot of people want to follow their truth whenever it's all going their way. But they don't want other people's truths to follow them, because then that normally it means it's not going to go their way. That's a downright lie. a lie of the devil, even to Christian circles. You deserve that. No, you don't. You deserve hell and the lake of fire for all that you've done. You get what God gives you because he loves you. Maybe you need it in service of the King of Kings, but everything we have is from God's good grace. And there is an old saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Make sure that you're walking with the Lord. It always works out for the better. All these things that people say, oh, this is my truth, they keep changing. And I'll give you, for example, two of the biggest countries in the world, China and Russia, they follow the teachings of communism. And about 50, 60 years ago, just after the war, the Cold War started between China and Russia. And communism became a dirty word. There used to be these big, I was going to say, purges, we'll not call them that, but searches for reds under the bed. And to point a finger at someone and accuse them of being a communist or supporting communism was enough to have the inquiring eye of the law enforcement agencies looking at your life. Because, I don't know about you, but I remember 40 and 45 years ago seeing queues of people in Russia outside a bakery just wanting a loaf of bread. One loaf of bread. Just enough to see them through from one day to another. And I thought, we could, even back then as a 10-year-old, I could look into a cupboard and there were loaves of white bread. And I just loved that, toasted with the butter melting off it and down my chin. I've found out since that that's actually bad for me. But that's neither here nor there. It sure tasted good with a cup of tea back in the day. But communism's not good for anybody. People say, oh, it's the way to go. And other people say, no, socialism's the way to go. And the most successful countries will tell you that capitalism is the way to go. And I want to tell you, God is a communist. He's a socialist. And he's a capitalist. He's a communist in that everyone's a comrade. God treats everyone exactly the same. There's none too bad that they're an unredeemable sinner, and there's none too good that they're not a sinner at all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all can be saved when they repent of their sins and trust in Christ as their Savior. God is an equal opportunity Savior. He's also a socialist because he provides for everybody the same, the Holy Spirit. Comfort, strength, peace, presence, contentment, purpose. Even the very food on your table and the clothes on your back, God will provide. But how can he be a communist and a socialist and be a capitalist as well? Well, just like the little parable of the man with the 10 talents, the 5 talents and the 1 talent, God will let you go as far as you like and do as much as you want in your Christian lives. And he will bless accordingly. You can make as much as you can of your Christian life. God is the ultimate capitalist. It's not about who you stand with. It's about where you stand. It's about what you stand for. Even though Facebook and Twitter and all these social media things seem to emphasize inordinately the number of likes and the number of people that like you or agree with you, it's not who you stand with. Unless, of course, that person is God. It's what you stand for. What have you decided? I said we weren't going to talk about the multitudes, but we've spent a lot of time talking about the multitudes. We're actually going to talk about the decision and the multitudes. The text that we read applies to every single soul. Everybody that has ever lived, that is alive right now, and that will ever draw breath in this entire world. No matter the multitude, the group that you belong to, no matter the number of people in that group that make you feel valid or safe or important, whether you belong to the LGBT, Whether you're a heterosexual, whether you're a Jew, a Gentile, a Mason, a Presbyterian, a Wiccan, a Catholic, an Episcopalian, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, whether you're an agnostic, whether you're an atheist, a Scientologist, a thief, a liar, an adulterer, a fornicator, an artist, a gamer, a racer, a driver, a biker, a sailor, a flyer, a modeler, a coder, a reader, or a baker. I think whether you're a tinker or a tailor or a candlestick maker, I think if I have made that quote right, whatever bunch of people you have found to identify with and that make you feel comfy, it is in verse number 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. It's the decision that we make when the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and God's judgment. It is that decision that applies to every single multitude, every group, and each individual in those groups. What will you do with Jesus? It is this decision. Will you make him your Savior? Or will you find a reason to reject the friendship and the family of God Almighty for a little bit of fun or forgetfulness or pleasure right here and now? Or will you make him your Savior? Will you just say to Jesus, between you and him, Lord, you've always been right and I've been wrong for many a year. Please forgive me and save me. You know what the text says? It says the Lord is near. And you know what that means? That means right at that very moment, God will save you. It will be a real, experiential, definite time in your life when your feet were lifted from the broad road that leads to destruction and set on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. Right there and then. It's not going to take a whole lifetime for God to reach you. The Word of God says, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You ask him to save you, he will right away. When you ask him, Christian, for his wisdom, for an answer to prayers, I think God saves us or gives us the answer right away too. It's just a lot of times we're not prepared to hear it because it means that we'll have to give something up that we love, that we thought maybe God was looking past or giving us special dispensation to carry on with. Regardless, God is near. So call out to him. Tell him you're sorry. Show him a broken heart. Let him in. Let him fix you. Let him bind you up. Let him heal you. And let him give you everlasting life. Get to be part of the winning side. You get to be one of the multitude that can read the full Bible and know that you are on the winning side. You can read the last verse and know that the souls that are walking on the streets of gold, that multitude includes you. And that all of those souls mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, the day of small and great, that you're not going to be there anymore. You can read it with joy. You can read it with concern. And you don't have to read it with fear anymore. You'll have a heavenly Father that loves you more than any flesh and blood relation ever could. And a big brother that gave his life for you so that you could, if you choose, live forever in heaven with him and all the other folks that got saved too. And a Holy Spirit that loves you so much, he wants to spend every moment of every day for the rest of your life with you, helping you, guiding you, comforting you, strengthening you, passing on God's wisdom, all these promises made by Jesus to you, sealed with his blood and preserved by his word for the past 2,000 years. And of course, that good book that keeps your mind fixed on the right things. These are all at hand for the soul that chooses Christ. If you don't choose Christ, you're on your own. And I would hate that. We live in the valley of decision every day. Sometimes we get up to the mountaintops and we breathe that fresh, clear air and we feel that sunshine beating on our faces. I don't know if you've noticed. stepping out of the house for the first time in the day during those really warm days, it was like a beautiful warm blanket on your chest and on your face and on your back as I stepped out for my daily walking. But you see, when you're coming back, it just gets too hot for me. But that, the feel of that fresh sunshine is beautiful. It's comforting. Sometimes we're back down in that valley of decision before you even know it. But you know what? Whether you're a God-fearing preacher, prime minister, or an alcoholic living under a bridge, or a prostitute that sells their body for the money to pay the bills, or a drug user just filling their veins up with poison to try and forget everything that's going on, you're one of many in the valley of decision. I would urge you to choose Jesus Christ. If it was up to God, you'd be saved already, but he loves you too much to force you. But if we'll take a moment and listen, he'll speak. And you know what? It'll make sense. And if you're that way inclined, you'll see that his answer is the right way. It's up to us. So make the right decision. God bless you and thank you. Now, we have our closing hymn to sing, so if you would like to take your hymn books again and turn to 332. 332 is Channels Only. 332. thank you all for your good time and attention. Pray you have a good Lord's Day or midweek service Lord's Day. It just feels like another Sunday for us. We pray that the Lord will be with you until we meet again. That sounds like a hymn that we know. God be with you till we meet again. We'll sing that next time. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And we'll be thinking and praying for you until the next time we speak, or the next time we meet, or the next time we gather together to worship and praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, just thank you indeed for your word, for preserving it and our freedoms even now in these difficult times. I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us, that you would guide us and direct us, show us what's right and what's wrong, and give us the good sense. Lord, I pray to make the right choice. Please save souls. Lord, please bless and keep Israel. Help us always to stand up for you and to point folks to the foot of the cross. We love you and thank you, Father. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, folks. Bye-bye.